الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقال سبحانه وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. فقال سبحانه وتعالى: وأعشروهن بالمعروف فإن كرهتموهن فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: استوصوا بالنساء خيرا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: خيركم لأهلي وأنا خيركم لأهلي، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected elders, my brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Marriage in Islam is a very sacred act, an act of worship, an act encouraged by Islam for those that can afford to get married. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ma'ashir al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj, fa'innahu aghaddu lil-basar wa ahsanu lil-farj. O Muslim youth, for those of you that can afford to marry, then they should marry. Why? Because it will save them from committing sin. It will save them from the sin of the eyes and from the sin of the tongue. Further, marriage in Islam and the purpose behind it is not that it lasts for a few days or for a few weeks or even for a few years. Like the kuffar say, till death do us part. The purpose of marriage in Islam is that it lasts till you remain alive. And it lasts in such a manner that husband and wife live in peace, live in harmony, happy with one another, comforting one another. This is the purpose of marriage in Islam. Now if you look at our elders, at our grandfathers, our mothers and fathers, this was the case with them. You never heard of their marriage hitting the rocks after a few days, after a few months, or after a few years. They lived married till death do us part. If they lived for 50 years, then their marriage lasted for 50 years. If they lived for 60 years after marriage, then their marriage lasted for 60 years. With peace, harmony, with love, comforting one another. Yet there are times where time, hard times, times of poverty, times of hardships, difficult times, not as many luxuries as what we have today. But today, if you look, things have totally changed. We have luxuries that our grandparents couldn't even dream of. We have everything. But in spite of this, we find that marriages today are not lasting for long. A few months, a few weeks, and to the most, a few years, and they end up with a divorce and separation. How many times have you heard that a young girl of 17, 18, maybe 19 years of age is sitting in her father's home, divorced because of some petty argument, some small difference which occurred, and this led to a divorce? And this is becoming a norm, a common thing, something that is considered as fashion. People say that the shaitan is a cause for these arguments. We can't deny this. If you open the hadith of Sahih Muslim, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the shaitan, the devil, now and then sits on his throne in the ocean. And a great gathering is held in which all the little shaitans come and they report to their master, to their king, the fitna, the confusion, the evil, and the corruption that they caused. The shaitan listens to this all very attentively and with a smile on his face. One comes to him and says, "O Iblis, there was a Muslim making his way to the masjid to offer his salah. I diverted his attention till he was unable to pray and he missed his prayer." The shaitan congratulates him, "Okay, you've done well. That's the way." Another one comes. "Yes, such a Muslim was making an intention of performing such a worship. I came and I stopped him from doing this." The shaitan congratulates him, "Okay, you've done well." One by one they keep on reporting. And one by one, Iblis congratulates them on what they have achieved. Till one of them comes and says, "O shaitan, there was a married couple living in peace and harmony. I came and caused a difference between them. This little difference slowly led to an argument. This argument led to a fight. And this fight led to separation and divorce." Iblis is so overtaken by joy and happiness that he stands from his throne and he comes and embraces and hugs this follower of Iskia. "You are my best follower. You have done the best of all things." And he embraces him and he congratulates him. So the shaitan has a big hand in this. But he only succeeds because of our ignorance. Man is ignorant with regards to the value of his wife, how special she is, and the status that Islam has given her, and how he should treat her. And woman is ignorant with regards to the value of her husband, how special he is, the status Islam has given him, and how she should serve and how she should treat her husband. And then the Western culture that Muslim couples have adopted doesn't help the marriage at all. Let me give you an example. Look at the young couples today, the young Muslim husbands. He's married a dynamite of a wife, and he's on the streets admiring Ash and the boys. I hope nobody's called Ash here, it's just an example. He monitors back to Ash. He's admiring Ash and the boys. Now he'll chill out all day. He'll spend all day with the boys. And how proud he feels to be part of the group, to be part of the boys, to be part of the local mob. They just take his name once and they send him to the seventh heaven. This is how proud he feels inside. Okay, Ash has taken my name. I'm Ash's best mate. And he'll spend all day with them. And what will they do? There's about three or four of them, probably sit in a car, and they will go around the block once. They will go around the block twice. They will go around the block again, again, and again. Or probably, you walk out in the morning and you will see them standing next to the local shop at the corner. You go in the afternoon and they're still standing there. And you go in the evening and the boys are still there. Now, don't get me wrong, Islam is not against chilling out, spending time with the boys, spending time with your mates. Islam is not against this. Islam is for chilling out. But chilling out with the right people, doing the right thing at the right time. When the Muslims of Mecca migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created brotherhood between the Muslims of Mecca and the Muslims of Medina. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created brotherhood between Sayyidina Salman and Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari narrated by Sayyidina Abu Juhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Salman came to visit his brother Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He found his wife Umm Darda sitting in one corner by herself. She hadn't beautified herself, dressed up and prepared herself in the manner that women normally prepare themselves and beautify themselves for their husbands. He sensed something wrong. He asked, "Ma sha'nu? O Umm Darda, what is the matter? Why is it that you haven't dressed yourself and prepared yourself in the manner that women normally dress up and prepare themselves for their husbands?" She replied, "Akhuka Abu Darda, laysa lahu hajatun fi dunya." In respectable words, she said, "Your brother Abu Darda, he has no inclination towards the dunya. He has no interest in the dunya and the dunyavi things." She was referring to herself, that your brother Abu Darda doesn't have an inclination towards me and doing the things that men normally do with their wives. This is what she was saying, in polite words. Abu Darda comes, I'm seeing his brother Salman. He prepares some food for him and he orders him to eat, offering the excuse that I'm fasting. Sayyidina Salman says, "No, I'm not going to eat till you eat with me." It was a nafl fast. He broke his fast and he sat down with his brother and he ate with him. Come the evening, and Sayyidina Salman, Sayyidina Abu Darda stands to pray. Salman says, "No, go to sleep." And Sayyidina Abu Darda sleeps. A few hours pass, and yet again Sayyidina Abu Darda stands to pray. And yet again Sayyidina Salman says, "No, sleep, it is not time to pray." Come the latter part of the night, Sayyidina Salman says, "Now stand and pray," explaining, "Inna li rabbika alayka haqqa, wa li nafsika alayka haqqa, wa li zawjika alayka haqqa." Islam is not just about praying, standing in prayer all day and all night. Islam is not just about fasting day in, day out. Islam is a complete way of life. Your Lord has certain rights over you. And you will allocate certain periods of the day and you will chill out with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will chill out with your Lord and you will bow down before Him and you will give Him His due and you will fulfill His rights. وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ. These hands, these feet, this body of yours is not yours. You will give this body of yours its right. And you will let this body rest and you will let it chill. وَلِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ. Your wife has certain rights over you and you will chill out with her and you will give her due. Your children have certain rights over you, and you will chill out with your children, and you will give them their due. Your brothers, your sisters, your mother and father, your relatives, and the boys have certain rights over you, and you will fulfill their rights, and you will give them their due. فَأْفِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقًّا. Every person that has a right over you, you will give him his right, and you will fulfill his right, and you will fulfill his due in the right time, doing the right thing. This is Islam. So Islam is not about, is not against my brothers chilling out with the boys in the streets. Islam is for chilling out. Islam is about doing the right things with the right people at the right time. Now it is sad that we chill out with the boys and we fulfill their rights more than what is asked by Islam, because we spend the whole day with them and then we return in the evening to our houses, to our homes. And when we return in the evening to our homes, our attitude, our behavior changes. On the street, we're like kittens that don't even meow. And in our houses, some of us become lions and rumble like thunder. Achieve mentality. We walk in like lions rumbling like thunder. There's no salam. There's no kalam. With Ash and the boys, there was plenty of salam in the West Indian style. Yo, bro, how you keeping? How you doing, bro? What you up to, bro? Plenty of salam, plenty of kalam, plenty of chit-chat, plenty of smiles, laughter, wisecracks, you name it. Everything's there. But when he walks in, there's no such thing as salam. There's no such thing as kalam. His wife has been waiting all day for him, looking after his property in his absence, looking after his wealth in his absence, looking after his children, taking them to the madrasa, bringing them back from the madrasa, taking them to the school, bringing them back from the school, preparing his meal, feeding his children, looking after his mother, looking after his father, doing things that she has not even been burdened by Islam. And he comes in, she's just rested for a while, he comes in, rumbling like thunder. What are you sitting down for there, woman? Don't you know? Where's the food? Where's my food? Don't you know when I walk in through the door, I expect the food to be on the table? Sitting down, lazing around, woman, all day, doing nothing. Now, his kids have come, seeing their father. That the father's come in after a whole day that the children haven't seen the father. Smiling, they run towards the father. It only takes a second for that smile to disappear. What are you doing, boy? You're going to crease my trousers. Move away. Here, take 50p. Go. Finished. Things like this lead on to arguments, lead on to differences, lead to fights. Fights lead to separation and divorces. Is this the way that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam behaved? Is this the way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was this the way our Prophet behaved towards his wives? And is this the way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated his wives? Listen to what our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says. She says to when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alone with his wife, كان أليان الناس وأكرمهم ضحاكا بساما. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't walk in like a lion. She says with his wife, he was the most gentle and the most kindest husband the world has ever seen. It wasn't just smiling with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. It wasn't just about smiling with the boys outside. Bahakin basaman, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would laugh. He would make our mothers laugh, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would enter, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would smile at them. The way he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behaved and treated his wife, Allahu Akbar, you wouldn't even believe that something like this could happen. Listen to our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend a day with each one of his wives. It was the turn of our mother Hazrat Sawda radiallahu ta'ala an. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with Sawda. Our mother, the hadith of Abu Ya'la, recorded, narrated by our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an, she says, I came all of a sudden with some halwa, which I had prepared specially for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I presented it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat between his wives in such a manner that he placed one foot in Hazrat Sawda radiallahu ta'ala anha's lap, And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed the other foot in our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's lap. Now our mother Hazrat Sauda wasn't too pleased. Why is Aisha come on my turn today? I don't go on Aisha's turn. So when Aisha, our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, offered the halwa to our mother Hazrat Sauda, our mother Sauda didn't want it. I don't want your halwa. Take it back. Now our mother Hazrat Aisha said, you're going to eat my halwa. You don't eat my halwa, then your face will receive my halwa. She refused again, I want nothing to do with your halwa. Try to get rid of our mother Hazrat Aisha. Quicker the better. So she can have Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all to herself. Our mother took some halwa from the plate and she covered our mother Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha with the halwa. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to laugh. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his foot out of our mother Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha's lap and said to Sauda, "Iltaqi wajaha." Don't let her get away with it. Quickly you do the same. And our mother Hazrat Sauda took out some halwa and she covered Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's face with it. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to smile. Who could think or imagine that this would happen in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell our mother Hazrat Sauda, "Ya Sauda, you do the same." Who could imagine that this would happen in the house of that person who was the busiest of all men, given a responsibility which is equal to nobody's responsibility, taking out mankind from the depths of darkness and making them the inheritors of Jannah. Our mother was so simple. Our mother Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha. And because of her simplicity, she would make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laugh, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make her laugh. She says once to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, sallaytu khalfak al-bariha." That I was praying salah behind you last night. You stayed in ruku so long, that I began to hold my nose fearing that it might begin to bleed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to laugh at her. On another occasion, our mother's Hafsa and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was sitting talking amongst themselves. When all of a sudden our mother Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha came dressed in a very beautiful Yemeni chadar and dupatta on her head. One said to the other, "Ama tara Sauda ma ahsana halaha?" Did you not see Sauda how beautiful she looks in this Yemeni garment and dupatta on her head? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be coming any moment now. And if he sees her shining like a star amongst us, we've got no chance. He won't even look at us. Let's take good care of her. Now our mother was slightly hard of hearing. She didn't know what they were murmuring about, what they were talking about. So our mother asked, "Okay, what are you talking about?" Hafsa said to our mother, "O Sauda, ama sha'arti, don't you know?" She asked, "No, what?" She said, "Kharaj al-a'war al-dajjal," that the one-eyed lion, that the dajjal has appeared. Now our mother was so simple that she became frightened. She became so frightened that she began to ask you, "Where shall I hide?" Hafsa pointed towards the tent. "Go hide inside that tent." And our mother hid inside the tent. And the tent was covered with cobwebs and dust. Now they've achieved their purpose. Now our mother is covered with cobwebs hiding inside. And our mother Hazrat Hafsa and Aisha are laughing their heads off. They're laughing so much that they can't even speak. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters. He's asking them, "Why are you laughing?" They cannot speak due to laughter. They are pointing towards the tent, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go inside the tent and you'll know why we are laughing." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes and finds our mother Hafsa covered in dust, covered in cobwebs, asking, "Has the Dajjal come out?" Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes our mother out, smiling, laughing. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wipes away the cobwebs, wipes away the dust, saying, "O Sauda, ma kharaj wa la yakhrajun." Dajjal has not appeared, but one day he will soon come out. This was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his wife. Believe it or not, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would even race with his wife. He would even compete with them and run with them. The hadith of Abu Dawud, narrated by our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, "We were on a journey. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba to proceed. Can you continue going? We remain behind, my husband and I." And Nabi Kareem, at the time I was very light and young. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ko Aisha, come. Would you like to race with me?" She says, "We competed, we run, and I beat my husband. I beat the Nabi of Allah in the race, and I won Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." She says, after the race, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say anything. He didn't make a mention of it. So I had totally forgotten and I'd grown bulky. Come another occasion, and yet again we were on a journey. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba to proceed. Can you continue? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained behind with me and said, Aisha, let us race. We race, and this time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to smile and say, Aisha, now it is one all. By winning today, I have equalized your winning before. Who has ever acted upon the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who could think or imagine that this is the way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would behave towards his wife? It wasn't just about fasting. It wasn't just about praying. It wasn't just about reciting the Quran. Islam is a complete way of life. It's about giving everybody their due. It is about cheering the family. And this is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do this. Now this doesn't mean today that everybody tomorrow take out his Miss Beautiful to the local park in Peterborough, in front of the local public in Peterborough, and prepare for the Olympics. Because this wasn't the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it in such a manner that at the time nobody was watching our mother and nobody was watching Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was total privacy. And if anybody wants to ask upon a hadith like this, then they should ask upon it in the manner that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did it. The love he had for his wife was ajeeb, well out of this world. The love he had for our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was out of this world. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married our mother Hazrat Safiya, the news of how beautiful she was spread like fire in Madinatul Munawwara. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he reached Medina, he decided to leave our mother Safiya in the house of the Sahabi Harithah ibn Nu'man. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his way to his daughter. This was the habit of Rasulullah. Every time he returned from a journey, he would go meet his family first. He would meet his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then he would kiss his grandsons Sayyidina Hassan and Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Thereafter he would come and meet the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, our mothers, all of which came out congratulating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the victory of Khaybar. Now when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he sensed something fishy in her eyes, something dodgy, something not normal. Now our mother had heard how beautiful Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha was. All the women that had already seen her were coming back praising Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha and her beauty. Now our mother wanted to see this new guest. But she didn't want anybody to find out that she has gone to see Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. So she covered herself, put on a niqab, put on a burqa, left the house without anybody noticing, thinking that nobody's known that she's left. And amongst the other women that were going to see Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, our mother joined them and made her way to where our mother Hazrat Safiya was residing, thinking that she's got away with it, nobody knows. She entered. Now look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a group of women there. Amongst them is our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, totally covered from top to bottom. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognized that was our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. This is how well he knew his family. He recognized Aisha immediately, but he didn't say a word. He let our mother Aisha have a good look at Safiya, our mother Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And when they left the house, as soon as she left, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed her by the side like this. Aisha, ya Shukaira, kaifa ra'aytu ya Shukaira? How was she? Smiling, teasing her, was she? Was she good? Did you have a good look? And our mother very angrily replied, Ra'aytu yahudiyatan bayna yahudiyat. Finding out that she's been caught out after all this caution, she became very angry. This was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his wife. Ajeeb. The way he behaved was ajeeb. There was no such thing as just coming in for the meal and then rushing out because the boys are waiting outside. When he walked inside and when he ate with his mothers, such is the custom that in some of our houses where the men eat first and the women eat after. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sit with our mothers of Aisha on the same dastarkhan and he would eat with her. Our mother would drink water from a glass. After drinking, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take the very same glass. And expressing his love, he would drink from the very same glass, placing his lips exactly on the same place from where our mother had been drinking from. If she too would meet from a bone, expressing love, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would take that bone from her and he would chew the remaining portion, beginning from exactly the place from where our mother had finished. This is how Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would sit with his wives and eat. Then after this, he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wouldn't leg it because the boys are sitting in the car and owning and waiting, or because they've rung. He Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after this would entertain his wife. He would tell them stories, he would make them laugh, he would talk with them, they would talk with him, they would relate stories, and he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would listen. He related the stories of Luqman ibn Aad and his seven brothers, all of which had sent a proposal to the same woman. He related the story of Khurafa, a man from Banu Uzra, who was captured by the jinn, and he related Ajib's stories when he came back. And then he related the story of the 11 women of Yemen, and some say the 11 women of Hijaz. A very beautiful story which can be found in Sahih al-Bukhari. Now what do women normally do when they sit together? I'm not going to say gossip because it's impolite. They talk. Women love talking. Anything and everything, they love talking. It's within their nature. Now these 11 women of Hijaz, their husbands have gone out for something, for some work, for some business. And they have nothing to do. So they want to keep themselves occupied. They sit together, and the hadith states, فَتَآقَدْنَا وَتَآهَدْنَا أَلَّا يَكْتُمْنَا مِنْ أَخْبَارِ أَزْوَاجِهِنَّ شَيْئًا. That all 11 got together and they took an oath and promised that they will relate the true state, they will describe the true state of their husband without changing anything, without hiding anything. Now they begin, now you've had it. One of them says, you know, my husband, when he eats everything. And when he drinks everything. There's nothing left in the cup. Not a sip does he leave. And when it comes time to sleep, he doesn't want to know me. He goes to his own room, in his own bed, and locks the door. This is my husband. But my sisters are thinking, we have many like this in our houses. Another one says, you know, my husband is like the meat of a useless camel. And then this meat is on top of a mountain which cannot be reached or climbed. Basically what she was thinking, my husband is useless. And secondly, in spite that he's useless, he's impossible to approach. He makes it out that he's important. The third one says, what can I say about my husband? I've got nothing to say about him. I fear that if I begin to make a mention of him and his faults, I can continue all night and his faults will never end. Like this, you need to read up this yourself. It's in Sahih al-Bukhari. Like this, each and every woman began to describe the true state of her husband. Now the last woman to describe a husband, and Allah give us a wife like this to all of us, was Ummi Zara. And this hadith has become famous and is known by her name, the hadith of Ummi Zara. Now she begins to talk about her husband. She says, Abu Zar, and how can I praise Abu Zar, my husband? Anasa min huliyin uzunayya wa mala'a min shahmin adubayya. He made my ears bow with jewelry. Meaning that he gave me so much jewelry that my ears have begun to hang down because of all the jewelry that is on my ears. This is how much jewelry he gave me. وَمَلَعَ مِنْ شَحْمٍ أَدُضَيَّ. He made my sides full of fat by feeding me. He gave me so much food that I am nice and round. And then she says, he kept me so happy, so content, that due to self-admiration, I began to feel that I was virtuous. وَجَدَنِي فِي أَحْلِ غَنِيمَةٍ. He found me in a very poor household, poor home, who possessed nothing. He took me out of this house, and he took me to a household which possessed everything. Horses, camels, goats, sheep, every single thing that you can think of. He took me from a poor house, and took me to this rich house. He says, فَإِنْدُهُ أَقُولُ فَلَا أُقَبَّ. I say what I want. He never criticizes me. He never scolds me. He never tells me off. He says, فَإِنْدُهُ أَقُولُ فَلَا أُقَبَّعُ. I say what I want. He never criticizes me. He never scolds me. He never tells me off. وَأَرْقُدْ فَأَتَصَبَّعُ. I sleep and I keep on sleeping. Late till the morning, nobody is allowed to wake me up. وَأَشْرَفْ فَأَتَقَمَّعُ. I eat and I drink to as much as I like. And even then, there is so much food that it all is spare. She says, this is my husband, Abu Zar. After praising her husband, she begins to praise her mother-in-law. Where will you find a girl today that will praise her mother-in-law? She says, أُقُومُهَا رَضَاحْ وَبَيْتُهَا فَصَحْ. My mother-in-law, what can I say about my mother-in-law? Her utensils are always full. And her house is spacious. Meaning that my mother-in-law is very rich. And not a miser like the women of the time. Every time she's entertaining guests, she is giving them food, she is giving them drink. Like this, she praises every member of her in-laws. The son, the daughter, every member of that family. Then she says, finally, what happened one day was, one morning, while the utensils of milk were being churned, my husband Abu Zara left the house in the morning. He saw a beautiful woman sitting with two cheetah-like children playing with pomegranates. His eyes fell on this woman. He loved her so much that he married her and divorced me. She says, I then married another guy, a prince, who was a soldier at the same time, a chief of his tribe. And he gave me everything. Anything I asked for, he gave me. He gave me every type of wealth. And he said to me, eat as much as you please. Give to your mother and father as much as you please. She says, the fact of the matter is, if I add all his good qualities up, and everything that he gave me, it doesn't even add up to a little thing which Abu Zara had given me. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is relating this story to his wife, our mothers. After relating this story, he says to Aisha, O Aisha, I am to you as Abu Zar was to his wife, Umm Zar. The difference is, O Aisha, I will not divorce you like Abu Zar divorced his wife. And our mother replies, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what comparison is this? You are more to me, billion times more to me than Abu Zar was to his wife, Umm Zar. Only if we followed the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never in a billion years will there be a divorce in our houses. Will there be feuds in which families are destroyed if we were to live a life like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. On top of this, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would help his wife doing their chores, the things that women normally do in their houses. He himself would milk the goat. He would fetch the firewood. He would mend his shoes. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would patch his own clothes. Today we men feel too proud to be doing these things. What will people say if they find out that we are doing these things in our houses? Suffering from pride, we consider these as being only womanly duties or womanly things. And if a woman didn't perform these duties, she would have to go to her father's house and we would divorce her. Yet the best of creation himself would do these things in his house. And he never considered this thing to be things of low nature. And this is the example the Salafus Saliheen, our elders, followed. Look at Sa'id ibn Amir. Sa'id ibn Amr was the governor of Hims, appointed by Umar Farooq himself. Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala wrote to the people of Hims, okay, write down the name of the fuqara, the poor people in Hims, so I can give them their due, allocate some money for them. Now they wrote down the name of the fuqara, and the first name that they wrote on this list was the name of their governor, Sa'id ibn Amir. When this list reaches Umar, Umar is surprised. Okay, why have they written the name of their governor right on top of the list? They informed him, إِنَّهُ فَقِيرٌ لَأَنَّهُ يُنْفِقُ مَا لَدَيْهِ عَلِ الْمَسَاكِينَ. He is poor because everything he possesses, he donates to the fuqara. And he says, "Kimaza afna waqad asbahtum fi sabiki." What can I do? You have become my responsibility. Umar has burdened me. Umar has wasted me. Umar said to the people of Himska, "I have not wasted him. I have been burdened with a responsibility by Allah, and I have burdened him with a responsibility, and I have appointed him as your governor." He asked them, "Tell me, how is this Sa'id ibn Amr with you? How does he treat you? Does he fulfill your rights and fulfill the responsibilities as a governor?" They said, "Oh Umar, he's a very good governor. There are four things which we dislike with regards to him. One, he only comes out at the time of duha, forenoon. We don't see him before this. The second thing that we dislike is that we do not see him during the night. We only see him during the day. The third thing that we dislike is that one day every month he remains absent. We don't see him at all. And the fourth thing that we dislike is that he faints time after time." Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent a message and asked him with regards to these four things. The governor of Hims comes and says, "Oh Umar, as with regards to my coming out only at the time of duha, forenoon, is because I have no servant to serve me. My wife is ill. She does not feel well. After Fajr, I begin to take care of her responsibilities. I do all the things in the home, all the things that my wife normally used to do. And I only finish at the time of duha. It is after this I come and meet the people and take care of their responsibilities. As for my coming out in the evening, as for my not coming out during the night, it's because I have left the day for the people and I have left the night to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for my absence one day a month, oh Umar, it is because I only possess one pair of clothes, and that is the pair that I am wearing. And on that day, I take off this pair, I wash it, and I wait for it to dry. And then after this, I wear the same pair again. It is because of this I stay absent. And as for my fainting, it is because I remember the martyr, Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I was there at the time when he was martyred. I was present when the kuffar were persecuting him. And I regret only if I had embraced Islam earlier so that I could have saved Khubayb from the persecutions of the kuffar." Every time Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu would make a mention of Sayyid ibn Amir, Sayyidina Umar Farooq would cry. Now the thing that's worth noting here is that he was a governor, held a greater position than you and I. And in spite of this, he would take care of his wife's responsibilities and he would help her. And this is an attribute of a good husband. One who helps his wife, whether she is in need or whether she is not in need. One who overlooks one or two of his wife's bad qualities and looks at the many good qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put inside her. Nobody is complete. Everybody has good attributes and everybody has one or two things that other people dislike. A good Muslim husband is one who overlooks the bad things and looks at the good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in a human being, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in his wife. A husband that is tolerant. A man comes to Sayyidina Umar Farooq complaining about his wife, about her bad attitude and her behavior. He reaches the doors of Umar and he can hear the wife of Umar giving Sayyidina Umar Farooq a hard time. Giving Sayyidina Umar Farooq a hard time. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq is listening to all this. He does not answer. The man returns, thinking, if this is the situation of the commander of the Muslims, one who rules half of the world and is known for his strictness, who am I? Where do I compare with Umar? He makes his way home. Umar opens the door and calls him and asks him why he came. He relates the whole incident. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to him, "I tolerate all this. Why? إِنَّهَا طَبَّاخَةٌ لِتَعَامِي. She is the one who cooks my food. وَخَبَّازَةٌ لِخُبْزِي. She is the one that bakes bread for me and makes my chapati. وَغَزَّالَةٌ سِيَابِي. She is the one who washes my clothes. وَمُوْضِعَةٌ لِوَلَدِي. She is the one that takes care of my children, feeds my children, and it's through her I gain peace and I refrain from sin." The man turned around to Sayyidina Umar Farooq, "Ya Umar, my wife does exactly the same things for me." Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu advised, "Then make sabr. Tolerate it all. Why? فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ مُدَّةٌ يَسِيرًا." That this life is only for a few days. Very soon it will come to an end. Make sabr for the short period that you're here. Everybody has a riff-raff now and then. Everybody has a difference. It is only natural to have a riff-raff between a husband and a wife. But a Muslim husband is one who tolerates this, who doesn't take it to heart and let it lead to big things. Even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had some difference with one of his wives now and then. Look at our mother, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She herself says that once there was a difference between me and your Prophet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, "O Aisha, who would you like to appoint as the problem solver? Would you be pleased with Umar?" I said, "No way, not Umar. Umar is too strict. What about your father, Abu Bakr?" She agreed to Abu Bakr. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "Would you like to speak first or shall I speak first?" She said, "You speak first, but make sure you don't change the story. Add things here and there." Crack. Sayyidina Abu Bakr cracked his daughter. "Anti taqulin al-haq wa abuk wa la yaqulu Rasulullah," that you will speak the truth, your father will speak the truth, but the Messenger of Allah will change his story, eh? And he began to chase her around the room with a little branch in his hand, and she hid behind her husband, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr, "Abu Bakr, inna lam naduka li hadha," we didn't call you for this. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr left. Our mother says, "I moved away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me, why should I come close to me?" She says, "Okay, no way, I'm not coming close to you." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to laugh and say, "You, Aisha, a few seconds ago you wouldn't leave me, and now you've gone back to what you were doing before, that you don't want to come close to me." This was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never let these petty things lead on to big things, to fight, which in turn lead to separation, which in turn lead to divorce. And this is an attribute of a good Muslim husband. And this is the way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated his wife and behaved towards them. And this is the example every Muslim husband should follow. And this is the way every Muslim husband should treat his wife. Now, we must remember that it's not one-way traffic. The wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behaved and treated their husband exactly in the same manner that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated them. It wasn't just one-way traffic. They loved him and they expressed this love in many ways. They respected, they honored, they served, and they were obedient to the best of their ability. If you look at some of our sisters today, our sisters do not do this. Now he's been working hard all day long, because Allah has burdened him with the responsibility of providing for the woman. She is to live like a queen. It is the man's responsibility to bring the food. It is the man's responsibility to bring everything inside the house. Now he's been working hard. He comes home, he's tired. He needs a rest. And as soon as he walks in, he regrets that he ever walked in. Why? Because she's waiting to eat him alive. Her tongue is sharper than a sword. And she gives him a drilling. She chops him up in pieces, 1,000,000 miles per hour, faster than the speed of light. "What are you doing, man? Get up. We've got to go here. We've got to go there. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. You didn't bring this. You didn't bring this from Morrison's last week. You didn't bring that. This is not the house. This is broken. Where's your money, man? Give me your money." I'm only joking, but it's of this nature. And he regrets that he ever walked in. He begins to see stars. Okay, have I come to hell or what? Now, this is not the way a Muslim wife behaves towards her husband. A Muslim wife is one who loves him, one who respects, one who honors, and one who serves her husband to the best of her ability, just like a Muslim husband serves his wife to the best of his ability. She doesn't give him a drilling when he walks inside the door. She smiles at him. Why? Because she knows Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the Muslim wife who smiles at her husband, نظر الله إليها يوم القيامة. Allah will look at it with mercy on the day of judgment. When everybody is suffering, when everybody is looking for help, Allah will look at her with mercy because she smiled to her husband when he entered inside. A Muslim wife is one who cooks for her husband. Why? Because she knows because of this, حرم الله عليها النار. Allah will make the fire of hell haram for her. She will not enter the fire of hell. She's one that lays down the dasturkhan for him. Why? Because she knows because of this one good deed, Allah will give her the reward of worshipping him for one complete year. And for every chapati, for every piece of bread she places, Allah will give her 10 good deeds. Allah will wipe away 10 sins of hers. And Allah will place a crown on her head made out of noor, covered with emeralds, decorated with rubies, decorated with diamonds. She's one that gives water to her husband because she knows because of this good deed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Allah will let her drink from the fountain of Kawthar 70 times before she even enters Jannah. She is one who washes his clothes because she knows for this she will receive the reward of 60 martyrs. She is one who after washing his clothes also embraces him and kisses him because she knows for this she will receive the reward of reciting the Quran 12 times. This is a Muslim wife. The reward that the women will receive to sitting in their houses, Allahu Akbar, it cannot be comprehended. Listen to this hadith of Rasulullah. Abdul Malik ibn Habib relates. Well, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. A woman from the Ansar came and she was called Asma. She greeted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with salam. Ki assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. And then she said, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah arsalaka ila nasi kafa. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you to the whole of mankind. To the jinn, to the human beings, to the males, to the females, you name it, he sent you to the whole of mankind. فَآمَنَّ بِكَ. We believed in you. We followed you. We took you as our prophet. وَصَدَّقْنَا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. And that what was revealed on you, the Quran, we took it to be true. We accepted it with our hearts. ثُمَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَضَّلَكُمْ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِفَضَائِلِ شَتَّى. Then Allah has given you men superiority over the women in different ways. فَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْجُمُعَ. For you is the Jummah prayer. وَالْجَمَعَ. For you is the congregational prayer. وَعِيَادَةَ الْمَرْضَى. For you is visiting the sick. For you, وَإِتِبَاءَ الْجَنَائِزِ. Is following the janazah. وَالْحَجْ وَالْعُمْرَةَ. For you is the Hajj. For you is the Umrah. وَخَصَّكُمْ بِأَفْضَلْ مِنْ هَذَا. And even better than this, الرِّبَاتُ وَالْجِحَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. For you is the ribat and for you is the jihad fi sabilillah. O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is there for the women? We are the ones that remain in your houses, looking after your wealth and property in your absence. We are the ones who look after your children, who take them to the madrasa, bring them back from the madrasa, take them to the schools, meet with their teachers. We are the ones who feed them. We are the ones who change their nappies. We are the ones who clothe them. We are the ones who prepare your meals. We are the ones who sew your clothes. We are the ones who patch them up. We are the ones who do the ironing. We are the places of your desire. It is through us you fulfill your desires. We are the ones that do not let anybody sit on your beds other than yourself. O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will we women receive? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in and said, هل سمعتم منطق مثل هذه المرأة? Have you ever heard a woman speak so eloquently and so much concern about the next world, about the akhirah, about her deen and her thawab? Have you ever seen a woman like this? The Sahaba replied in one voice, والذي بعث بالحق. We swear by the one who has sent you with the truth, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have never seen a woman like this ever before. With so much concern about her deen and so much worry about her sawab, we have never seen a woman like this. We couldn't even believe that a woman could actually speak in a manner like this and show so much concern like this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around to this woman and said, وَاسْمَا أَيَّتُهَا الْمَرْأَةِ إِنْصَرِفِي وَعْلِمِي نِسَاءَ حَيِّكِ وَمَنْ لَقِيتِ مِنْ نِسَاءِ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَجَمِيعِ نِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. وَاسْمَا, go and tell the women that you meet from your tribe. Tell the women that you meet from the Ansar and the Muhajireen. And tell the women that you meet from the Muslim. Tell any Muslim woman that you meet that if a woman serves her husband and is obedient to her husband and serves him well, even if it's for a short period of time, even if it's for 10 minutes, and her husband is pleased with her. For this little thing, يعدل الجهاد والحج والعمرة وإتباع الجنائز والجمعة, for this little thing, she will receive the reward of the jihad. She will receive the reward of the ribad. She will receive the reward of the jumu'ah. She will receive the reward of visiting the sick, following the janazah. She will receive the reward of the hajj, and she will receive the reward of the umrah for this little thing that she does. She returned home shouting, Allahu Akbar, because of what she heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the reward that a woman will receive. Look what the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood from this hadith. She is ill. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha is ill. She wakes up in spite of this. She performs wudu, ablution, and then she offers her salah. And after this, she begins to grind flour with the handmill. Her husband Ali says, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rest. Take a rest, your illness will deteriorate. And she replies, and this reply is worth more than £1 billion. She says, oh my beloved husband, these two things are not such because of which my illness will deteriorate. These two things, to serve Allah and to serve my husband, is the best cure for any sickness. And if one of them becomes the cause of my death, what better death can there be? This was the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our sisters believe that the kuffar have liberated them. Every billboard you will see our sisters, and how cheap and how low they have taken women to be. We kid ourselves that they have liberated us. In reality, from these billboards you will see how cheap a woman is. And the mentality of our sisters has become ajeeb. I mean, we will be happy to work in offices and serve the kuffar, serve our bosses, serve all those that come there. We will be happy to work as air hostesses and serve the passengers, run around on the plane, bring drink for him, bring food for him. We will be happy to work in factories. We will be happy to work everywhere. But when it comes to serve the very husband, the Muslim husband, who spends everything to his ability to serve her and her children and provide for them, there we begin to ask for equality. The same things we will do for the kuffar. We will do for our bosses. We will do exactly the same thing. We will cook for them. We will clean the office. We will move papers from here to there. But when it comes to doing the same thing for the person who was burdened with the responsibility of providing, there we will ask for equality. There we will consider sweeping up the house a bad thing, but we will consider sweeping up the factory a good thing. We will consider sweeping up the shop floor to be a good thing. But sweeping up your very house, the very place where you live in, to provide for your own children, to cook for them, there we will say that the husband has oppressed us. Achieve mentality. Yet the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of creation, would do all the work in her house herself. To the extent she had grinded so much flour that it left blisters on her hand. And she came because Sayyidina Ali told her to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him for a servant to serve us. She comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, blisters, seeing the blisters on his daughter's hands. In spite of this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends her back, oh Fatima, how can I give you? When the people of the bench, the Ashab al-Suffa, are suffering from starvation, such is their condition that their stomachs have shrunk due to hunger. O Fatima, they are more worthy of you than this. I will spend whatever I have on those people, and you return to your family. Ittaqillah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fulfill the rights of your Lord, fulfill the rights of your husband, and do all the chores, do all the homes in your house by yourself. And she replied, O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I open-heartedly accept your suggestion, and I will keep on doing what I used to do in my house. I will keep on doing all the chores in the home, the cooking, the sweeping, the cleaning, everything myself. This was the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A second mistake that our sisters make is demanding too much. You can provide everything, but in spite of this, they will say that we don't have this, we don't have that. This is not a good attribute. A Muslim wife should be happy with whatever her husband provides, as long as what he provides is halal and has come from halal sources. Our mothers once asked for an increase in nafqa, in expenditure. It was at the time of after the Battle of Ahzab, when Quraidah and Nadir had been defeated. A lot of booty had come, and our mothers sat around Rasulullah ﷺ saying, Ya Rasulullah, Banatu Kisra wa Qaisra fil Huliyya wal Hulal wal Ima, wa nahnu ala ma tarahu min al Faqa wa Dhiq. That the daughters of the kings Kisra and Qaisr are living lives of luxury. They have jewels, they have fancy clothes, they have everything. They have maids to serve them. And Rasulullah ﷺ, we are living, as you see, in poverty and in hardships and in difficulty. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so hurt by this. And one or two other incidents that have taken place, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took an oath that he will not go near one of his wives for a complete month. Relating this incident, Imam Muslim, on the authority of Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all the people were sitting at the doorstep, and nobody was given permission to enter. After a while, Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu were given permission to enter. When Sayyidina Umar entered, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting very quiet. And the Azwaj Mutahharat, the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, were sitting around him. Umar could not tolerate the condition and the sadness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said to Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr, I will try my utmost best to make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laugh. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, the daughter of so-and-so, referring to his wife, has just asked for an increase in nafaqah, and I've just given her a good crack. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to laugh and said, Umar, these sitting around me are asking for the same thing. Immediately Abu Bakr stood up, asked to hit his daughter Aisha. Umar stood up to ask to hit his daughter Hafsa, that you're asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for something he doesn't have? You are putting him into difficulty? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped him from hitting his wives, their daughters. And all the Azwaj replied, Ya Rasulullah, we will never ask you for something that you do not have. We will never put you into difficulty. Now, 29 days passed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken an oath that he will not go next to him for a month. 29 days passed, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began with our mother, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now look at the love our mothers had, that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to our mother, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, our mother, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a month hasn't passed, only 29 days have passed. She had been counting every day that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had stayed away from them. And today such would be the score, a small riff-raff, she's packed her bag and she's gone. Allah knows best where she's disappeared. And here the wife of Rasulullah ﷺ felt so much that Nabi Kareem ﷺ hasn't come to them, that they are counting every day of separation to the extent when Nabi Kareem ﷺ comes to them, they think, Ya Rasulullah, only 29 days have passed. You will be breaking your oath. Nabi Kareem ﷺ explains to our mother Aisha, this month is only of 29 days. Then he says to Aisha, I'm going to ask you a question, but I don't want you to give me an answer till you have gone and asked your mother and father and asked for their advice. She said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the question? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her the choice between the dunya and the akhirah. Do you want to choose Allah and His Messenger, or do you want to choose the dunya and the luxuries of the world? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse of the Quran to them. And she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to you, are you telling me to ask my mother and father with regards to you? In one voice he replied, I choose Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all the wives chose the same. And this is the footstep that a Muslim wife should follow. Not demand for the dunya and the luxuries of this world, because this is going to come to an end. Choose the akhirah, choose the next world, and prepare for the akhirah. And be satisfied with whatever your husband provides you with, no matter how little it may be. There are sisters living in what is called as the third world. 15, 16 children, 20 children. And they share one piece of bread. And they are happy and they are content. And they do not walk away from their husbands because there is only one piece of bread to eat. Some of them will live in such conditions that days will go and they have nothing to eat. They do not pack their bags up because there's nothing available. This is a why. You will stay with your husband in good times when Allah has blessed you with fortune and there are many things on your table, and you will stay with your husband in hard times when there is nothing on the table. You didn't marry him for the luxuries of this world. The daughter of Shuja Kirmani comes to mind, and then I will conclude. Shuja was a pious saint of his time, related to the king of the time. Now, the king of Kirman asked for his daughter's hand in marriage for his prince. He said, I will give you an answer in 3 days. He stayed in the masjid. Come the third day, and he saw a young pious man. And he offered his daughter to him. Take my daughter in marriage. The young man replied, I'm a pauper, I've only 2-3 dirhams, a few pennies. I can't look after your daughter, a daughter from the royal family. He took him as his son-in-law. Now when the daughter went to her husband's house, she saw a piece of bread, a dry piece of bread in a bowl. She asked him, what's this bread? He said, this is yesterday's bread which I had kept for this evening to eat. She said, take me to my father's house. I don't want to live with you. He turned around and said to her, I knew that a girl from the royal family cannot live with paupers, cannot live with poor people like me. She turned around and said to him, I'm not leaving because of poverty. I'm leaving because of the weakness of your iman. That you have kept yesterday's bread for today. Do you not believe in the very Allah that provided yesterday can provide for you today? Do you not believe in this? She said, I'm surprised at my father. 20 years he never married me because he was in search of a pious guy, of a pious husband. And now that he's married me to you, a person who doesn't trust Allah, who doesn't believe in Allah as the provider, take me to my house. He was so surprised that he asked, how can I amend this error? How can I rectify this mistake? She said, either keep me in this house or either keep this bread. And he donated the bread as charity, in charity. These were women of one time. They couldn't tolerate a piece of bread, never mind the luxuries of the world. And today we have petty arguments over things that are not inside the house. Maybe the husband's brought one packet of bread left this week, and over petty things like this there will be quarrels and they will turn into fights, and these fights will lead into separation and they will lead into divorces. Petty things. If you look back at every divorce, you will find that it started over a petty little thing, and then it got worse, 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 till it ended up into divorce and destroyed the life of the offspring, destroyed the life of the children that came from this marriage. And then once the divorce has taken place, then we regret when it's too late, when there's no turning the clock. And then we begin to look at ways and begin to live in haram just because of them kids, when it is too late. A good Muslim woman is one who serves her husband. And I conclude on this by saying to the males, by saying to the husbands, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the last things that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said before he left this world in the farewell Hajj, when there were hundreds and thousands of people there, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the males, "Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra." O Muslim men, take good care of your wife. "Khayrukum khayrukum li ahli wa ana khayrukum li ahli." The best of men is one who is best to his family. Not just with the boys, smiling, laughing, joking, spending time with them. The best of you is he who is best to his family, who treats them with kindness, who looks after them, who provides for them, who spends time with them, who talks with them, who has fikr for their deen. And I say to my sisters, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, emphasizing the status of your husband, that if I was to order anybody to prostrate before anybody, then I would have ordered the wife to prostrate before her husband. فَإِنَّهُ جَنَّتُكْ أَوْ نَارُكْ. He's either your heaven, he's either your hell. Be disobedient, fulfill his rights, and through him you will receive the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be disobedient, neglect his rights, give him a hard time, and then there is nothing other than the fire of hell. The choice is yours. Allah give me the tawfiq to act upon what I have said and implement what I have said in my life. And Allah give you the tawfiq to act upon what I have said. وَآخِرُ دَوَانًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.